Good morning, church, and welcome to the Eternity Life Podcast, Episode 1. What is Eternity Life? My name is Pastor Daniel, and I pray that God has found you in the mood for some learning today, for some growing. Today is January 3rd, 2020. It's a new year, it's a new decade, and perhaps it's time for a new you. Now, since this is a new podcast, I'm imagining the audience that might be listening. I'm imagining you, that you are conscientious and caring, that you're a thoughtful citizen, that you hold to Christian beliefs and you care about our world, you care about how we live, you care about how we're raising our children, and you care about the world that we're leaving to them, our legacy. And I'm on a mission. I'm on a mission to teach, preach, and help you live your best you, 20 minutes at a time. So what is the Eternity Life Podcast about? How we reframe our lives to see ourselves as part of something bigger than ourselves. Eternity Life doesn't have an ego attached to it. It's our life when we live inside of God's life. And our scripture for us today comes from the Gospel of John, which, if you know me, is my all-time favorite. There's a little phrase given by Peter. Peter, who's perhaps the closest person to Jesus in his life, Peter says these excellent words to Jesus in John chapter 6, verse 68. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternity life. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternity life. Now, if you are into grammar or if you've ever studied a foreign language, you know that the tense you speak in makes a big difference. Past, present, or future. We'll just leave it to those three for the sake of ease. And think about the phrase, it is raining. How does that phrase make you react? How does it make you feel? It is raining. And what about the phrase, it rained yesterday? How do you react to that? And finally, it will rain tomorrow. Does the tense change the way you react to it? Of course it does. Yeah. Whether it's past, present, or future matters because it changes the way we emotionally experience the sentence. It changes the way that we prepare ourselves. It changes the way that we live and act. Let's just stay with this phrase. It is raining. If you use the past tense, it rained yesterday. The action item from that might be that today we don't water the plants because it rained yesterday. Or we tell the kids, you know, you need to take your shoes off when you enter the house because they're probably covered in mud. And if the phrase is present tense, it is raining, then that means we need to prepare for today to be a day in which it is raining. Might we dress differently? We wear a raincoat? Might we carry an umbrella? Might we make plans to move our wedding indoors rather than outdoors? I've been in a couple of weddings that were in the rain because we didn't have a good plan for today. In the future tense, it will rain tomorrow. If you knew that it will rain tomorrow, might that change your action items for today? Might you spend more time outside today or other preparations you need to make to get ready for the rain to come? Well, I bring up these tenses because of what Peter says here. Lord, to whom shall we go? Which is future tense. You have the words of eternity life. Now, we've always translated that to be eternal life, which has a bit of a future tense to it. And this is my point today. This is what this podcast is about. Eternity life. Eternity life has to it a present tense, the way that Peter is talking here. It is today. Today is eternity life. And I know that's a silly thing to say about today, that today is eternity. But if you realize what Peter is getting at, he's saying that listening to Jesus brings eternity into the present moment. It's as if the calling is to live today as if we are part of eternity right now. I'm going to read to you from Strong's Dictionary. Strong's Dictionary, if you're a Bible nerd, is what we use when we're looking through the Greek to figure out what the words mean or what they meant in their day. This is Strong's, it's word 166, if you want to look it up. The New Testament is written in Greek, and when it gets translated, it loses a little bit. So this is the word for eternal or eternity. Oianos, like eon. It's an age. Like age to age, we live. And then down at the bottom it says, does not focus on the future per se, but rather on the quality of the age it relates to. Thus, believers in, quote, eternal life, end quote, right now, experiencing this quality of God's life now as a present possession. Note the Greek present tense of having eternal life in other parts of John and in Romans. Sisters and brothers, eternity life is not a quantity of life. It's a quality of life. It's not a quantity of days. It's a quality of days. And that gift of eternity life is the gift of love that Jesus came down to give us. He says that I have come to give you life that you might have it abundantly. So in this conversation between Peter and Jesus in this John chapter 6, this is the story of the feeding of the 5,000. Now here's the scene. All good Jews are supposed to be in Jerusalem for the Passover. That's what's happening in John chapter 6. They're supposed to be going south to Jerusalem. When you get there, you're supposed to go into the temple and change your money into the money that you can use to buy a lamb that is 1 year old. And then you're supposed to sacrifice that lamb on the altar in the temple. Every good Jew is supposed to be down in Jerusalem. But rather than going south, they all went north. They're way up north on the Sea of Tiberias, the Sea of Galilee, with Jesus, who has already called himself, I am the temple. Okay, so there's a change in behavior that's happened here. All these people are up north when they're supposed to be south. They're supposed to be good Jews who show up to the temple twice a year for Passover in the spring and then for Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah in the fall. And the twice a year Jews have all migrated north to be with Jesus, who's calling himself, I am the temple of the Lord. And it makes you wonder, what are they looking for? Are they tired of their religion just popping up a couple of times a year to remember the past? Are they looking for a way to be involved in their own present moment? And is there something about Jesus of Nazareth that beckons people to come and follow him because he has some answers about life that they're not finding in their everyday religion? And now they're celebrating Passover, which is this ancient festival that has to do with liberation from slavery into freedom. And it also has to do with God providing manna, God providing bread in the desert. Jesus up in the high country says the words, I am the bread of life. Those who eat of me will have this eternity life. So in this scene, there's, 5,000, let's say that's just men plus women and children, so 10,000 or 15,000. There are a lot of people way, way, way up north for the Passover. They're all being bad Jews by following Jesus. And they get all the way up there, and the disciples start to panic. They're like, the sun is setting, and all of these people are hungry, and what are we going to do? And Jesus invites them into the miracle. He says, you give them some food, and they collect what's around them. You know the story. And there's just a little bit of bread, and there's just a little bit of fish, and they make it last for everybody. And then after everybody's had their fill, Jesus tells them that the word of God is what they need to live by. Not just bread alone, but by the word of God. That the eternity life is not the life where we continue to eat and continue to be hungry. Eternity life is when we find our fill, might we say, when we find our fulfillment. And this is the life that Jesus offers them. And guess what? All of those people leave. Just like the twice a year show up kind of religiosity people that they might be, they get their fill of his food. They let his words resonate in their life for a little bit, and then they go. They go back home. And in a moment of vulnerability, Jesus turns to his disciples and he says, are you now going to leave me too? Have you decided that this movement was just a fleeting movement in your life of needing to chase the next thing? And Peter, in that moment when Jesus says, are you going to leave me too? Peter, who has no inner monologue, Peter, who gets it wrong so much of the time, Peter is the one who confesses, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternity life. It gives me chills in this moment of vulnerability with Jesus. And it makes me realize how much of our church is spent relegating our faith in the past and in the future to be mostly past tense, that's when Jesus lived, and future tense, that's when heaven and eternal life will begin. And that there's not enough to do in the here and now, that the Christian life, if we even want to use the word Christian, the followers of Jesus, the followers of the way, the ones who show up and listen to Jesus' words over and over again, are we bound to do something in the present moment? Just like if it's raining today, we have something to do. If we're listening to Jesus today, is there something for us to do? And so much of religious language feels like it's got a heavy weight on the past and the future. Even our creeds, we talk about how Jesus was born of a Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. All of that's past tense language. And then right in the point where we should be talking about the present moment, we say, he will come again to judge the living and the dead. It's like our whole creedal system is leaving out the action item of what we are supposed to do today. It's about how we find the quality of life in today, in a world where Christianity seems to be lacking in our daily response. Sisters and brothers, I pray that God has you in a place where you find quality in your life, and that that quality of life might feel a little bit like it's raining Jesus today. Maybe not R-A-I-N, but R-E-I-G-N, raining Jesus. What would it be like for you if you knew you would live forever? What might change for you if you realized that Jesus had words of eternity life? What might it be like for you if you prayed the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, thy kingdom, thy reign be done, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? What would it be like for you if Christianity or following Jesus had so much more to do with making heaven come to earth, to make earth like heaven, to bring the reign of Jesus here? What would it be like for you if you realized that you will live forever? Would you see abundance instead of scarcity? What would it be like for you if eternity life had more to do with today than just yesterday or tomorrow? Because yesterday and tomorrow don't affect me as much as things that happen today. One way to think about this eternity life is to think about abundance versus scarcity. Most of us view time as something that's scarce, something that we don't have enough of. There's not enough hours in the day. Our kids are growing up too quickly, etc. But we live nearly twice as long as people did 100 years ago. So can we really say that time is really that scarce? 365 times 80 or 90 or 100? What would it be like if we stopped viewing our time as something that was scarce? And what happens when we view our life as scarce and it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy? I've tried this lately in my own life. When I start to think that there's not enough time, I check in on my motivations. They're often driven by expectations that are sometimes imaginary. Why am I stressing about this project? Well, because I just didn't think it would take this long, and now I'm mad that I was wrong. But when I look at, say, my time with my children, not as scarce, but as abundant, when I realize that I have eternity life, that I have a quality of life there, it turns into quality time, or we might say in the church, Kairos time. And it turns out that Jesus has these words for us of abundant life. Here we have a man who knows that he will die a brutal death, and yet he doesn't spend his life full of pleasures and joys. He spends quality time with people everywhere he goes. He doesn't act selfishly because his time is limited. He acts generously because he knows that eternity life, quality life, is abundant. Even the night before he dies, he doesn't try and cram in 100 menial tasks. He gathers his closest friends together and shares a meal. That's it. And in that meal, he offers them his life, his whole life, to be their life. At his Last Supper, he didn't live like a man who was dying. He lived like a man who was going to live forever. Eternity life is the good life. One in which worry, ego, and stress take a backseat while loving relationships drive. Eternity life is not a prosperity gospel where God promises that you will be wealthy beyond your wildest dreams. In fact, I'm not so sure that the eternity life has much to do with money beyond the small group of things that keep you healthy and bring you joy and things that allow you to be generous. Because eternity life is about quality life, and having a bunch of money don't always go hand in hand. Being generous is a lot of fun, and generosity is a mindset. It's a looking at your life as abundant rather than scarce. It's looking at your time as eternal rather than mortal. Eternity life is healthy, pure, joyful, sustainable, creative, cozy, and safe. This is what this podcast is searching to find. The good life for you, for me, for our society, and for our planet. What other ways might eternity life change the way you behave? If you were going to live forever, would it influence the way that you vote or the way that you purchase food? Would you remember to bring your reusable grocery bags to the grocery store? Would you invest in education more? Would you reconcile with someone that you've been putting off? Because let's face it, you're going to live forever. You might as well forgive them. Would you learn Spanish and reach out to people around you more? Would you set your path not on short-term gains, but get more in the flow of the good life? Well, that's what I'm hoping. That's what I'm hoping that this podcast can help you do. That's what I'm hoping to do in my life and with you in your life. Over the next several episodes, we're going to talk about what Jesus says about eternal life in Scripture and other places of Scripture, including Job and Jeremiah, what they have to say about this eternity life. Not as a future reality that starts the day we die, but a continued present reality where it is reigning Jesus. And so with that, I end this first podcast with the benediction. This is the blessing that was given to Aaron when he was ordained. And now, sisters and brothers, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.